It was evil. And the last thing I wanted to do was get trapped in an endless cycle of grief again. No matter how much I wanted a certain woman's thighs wrapped around me, and even then, I knew she was the kind of woman you kept, no matter how terrifying it would be.
Chapter 16. Blair. I pretended to leave, which was a solid plan followed by poor execution. Once Bill said his goodbyes, I parked around the block, sprinted back to the front gate, and heaved myself over the far east side of it. Bill sat cheerfully unaware in his little security box, checking on my false identity most likely, which meant I didn't have long before he either came searching or called Jesse. I grabbed the key from my pocket and made my way into the house. I slid the key into the door leading into the garage, and it worked. With an exhale, I made my way around all the cars, opened the door to the house, and started my search again. I was still coming up empty. I wanted to judge him based on his surroundings, and so far, all I had was that Jesse was a neat freak. How the hell was I supposed to find dirt on someone who didn't even allow it in his own house? I frowned at the white walls covered with monochromatic art, the gray statues that lined the hallway opening into, shocker, the same boring black-and-white kitchen. The temptation to spill something, anything, on the floor was strong. Had he always been like that? I searched my memories, but our dates had been so quick during those few weeks. I never got to that level with him. In fact, he never even took me back to his place. We were always at mine. I frowned harder. He'd always been weird about his car, too. "Just close your eyes," I laughed. Jesse's teeth clenched as I wrapped a black bandana around his head. "Why don't we just go out to eat?" I rolled my eyes and started his car. It roared to life. "We're going to grab takeout and then sit in the car and watch fireworks." I was so giddy with my idea, I almost missed his grimace. "Look," he pulled the blindfold down. "I love that you want to do something nice for me, for us, but do you really want the car smelling like orange chicken?" He gave me a sultry smile. "I'd rather taste you anyway." He leaned in at the stoplight. "Tell you what, let's go make out first, then order in, pour a few glasses of wine, and watch the fireworks from your balcony." And then his tongue was in my mouth, and I lost all rational thought. I never even realized that he'd manipulated my own surprise into doing what he wanted to do. "Son of a bitch," I whispered to myself as the memory slapped me in the face. I berated myself for even going there. I was doing a job. He was my job. The past didn't matter. His distracting kisses didn't matter. It ended there. Right. Forget about his mouth. Or the way I sighed when he touched my shoulder. The way my body quivered when his skin pressed against mine in the car. "Stop!" I gritted my teeth and searched the kitchen. Cheaters often hid things in places that their spouses wouldn't expect, like pantries and junk drawers, places that seemed obvious but weren't. I'd once found a second cell phone in a cereal box. Cheaters were like drug addicts. They knew the perfect place to hide the drugs. I shuddered. Dirty toilets. Not the best day I'd ever had, but marginally better than the sewer. I spent the next 30 minutes with plastic gloves searching every crevice of that kitchen, patting down the undersides of drawers, digging through trash. Nothing. The guy was either a saint, or we had a serious Dexter situation going on, and he knew exactly how to dispose of incriminating evidence. Sexy male laughter jolted me from my search. I freaked, ran into the pantry, and shut the door just as Jesse's profile came into view. Sweat trickled down my back. Shit, shit, shit. Oh, this was bad. So bad. What man didn't want to eat after coming home from the gym? Nice, man. She keeps the book on the bar. Colin's mocking voice at least made me feel like I wasn't the only one who thought it was strange. Fam's always so classy. Yeah, Jesse agreed. I think maybe it's her way of reminding me how happy we were that one year. He hesitated. You know, the one where we actually did normal things like stay home and make dinner and watch movies instead of going out all the time. That went to hell fast. Colin sighed. She writes a book about our best year and then turns into this greedy person I don't recognize and dream about murdering in her sleep. Hey, Colin warned. I get it, I do, but she's still my... Sorry, man. It's fine, like I said. I get it. I plastered my ear to the door to listen harder. What did Colin mean? Why was he defending her? Why was Jesse saying sorry? I made a mental note to purchase the book and torture myself by reading it cover to cover. You contemplate murdering her while she sleeps, Colin said in a weird tone. And yet she's still living here in this house with you? Tell me how that makes sense. You say she's not the same person, but she never really was the person you thought she was. When are you going to get that? She was different then, man. She was. Jesse came to her defense so quickly, I almost fell backward. He sounded like he still had feelings for her. I turned my attention back to the door as footsteps neared the pantry. Oh, hell, not good. I needed to get out. Fast. I grabbed my cell and texted Colin, and seconds later heard a ping. Another one of your sex buddies, Jesse teased. Colin paused and then, oh yeah, but this one's been really hard to tame. You know the type. A bit schizo, but so hot you don't care that she asks to twist your nipples while she licks your nose. Seriously? Jesse choked. She likes noses and snake tattoos. Loves them. Lucky for you. I think it reminds her of the size of my dick, you know? I made a gagging motion, shifted on my feet, then texted again. Me, seriously, trapped. And your dick can't be the size of that python on your arm because that would mean you actually impale women on a daily basis. Colin, just call me Dracula. I frowned. Colin, get it? The impaler? Me. Look at that. Basement dweller can joke. He's got jokes. Meanwhile, I'm going to starve to death in this pantry. Colin, you mean around all that food? Wow. This girl must have skills if you're that focused on her texts. Jesse trailed off. She's unique, Colin finally said. My eyes narrowed. Was that a compliment? Did it matter? Why did I care? And why the hell did Jesse have 10 different kinds of cereal? And all the boxes were full. I would know, I shook them. And alphabetized, starting with Apple Jacks? Really? Not that I'd resorted to more snooping. Okay, so I'd resorted to more snooping. But the fact that they were full was emotionally distressing. A full cereal box at my house lasts about one hot minute before I get a craving for Cheerios that even wine can't cure. Hey! Colin cleared his throat. I need a favor.
Anything,
Jesse said quickly. I need a nice shirt for a date tonight, something classy. Jesse laughed.
What? You can't wear your own clothes?
You know I like your style better. I grumbled to myself. Has he seen that man's closet? He doesn't have a white shirt ironed within an inch of its life. Plus, I want to impress this girl, and I don't have time to go grab a new shirt. We're going on a late lunch date, and I'm sweaty as hell, so please, let me borrow a shirt. I'll go home and shower, pair it with some nice jeans, and be inside her in no time. I glared at the door. Like I could actually see Colin's smug expression. Why was my heart thumping? Why was I breathing like I was having trouble sucking in air? He could date whomever he wanted. I shifted on my feet as my face heated. He was an attractive, successful man. I crossed my arms, then uncrossed them nervously.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesse finally said. I'll be right back. Try not to burn down the kitchen or set the book on fire. Shit, you read my mind, Colin joked.
The sound of footsteps faded as Jesse walked toward the bedroom, and then the pantry door was jerked open. I blinked up at him. Thank you.
People, they pay you, he said,
leaning his large frame against the door while his muscles bulged beneath his sweat-soaked shirt.
For this?
My eyes narrowed.
Yes, and I'm good at it.
His smirk was wicked as he glanced behind me and then locked eyes.
Obviously.
I shoved his chest.
I miscalculated the time, that's all.
I tried squeezing past him, but he grabbed my arm and pulled me back into the pantry and closed the door.
What the hell are you doing?
I hissed as he pressed me against the wall.
He's going to find me.
A favor for a favor, spy girl. Colin's grin turned menacing.
I got Jesse out of the house, gave you my car, and saved your sorry ass. I get a favor.
I'm not sucking your nose and licking your tattoo, you psycho, I said, repeating what he'd said earlier.
Don't knock it. You may love it.
He winked and then stood his ground.
One favor.
I sighed and gritted my teeth. Fine.
A date,
he said triumphantly.
I want a date.
A date? I repeated in a slightly panicked voice. Like to dinner?
No, I was thinking the drive-in. We could make out, eat popcorn. I'd feel you up a bit. Yeah, dinner.
I smirked. If I go to dinner with you, you'll get me out of this godforsaken pantry with the full boxes of cereal?
Noticed that, did you?
He's clearly not human.
I steal his Cocoa Puffs every chance I get.
I nodded seriously. I think my respect for you grew just now.
Ah, she likes cereal.
She'd also like to not get caught.
Go.
He shoved me toward the pantry door.
Run out the back and try not to trip and ruin your escape.
I don't trip. Of course, at that moment, I tripped over my own feet and almost face-planted into his lips. He sighed. His expression worried and a bit stunned as Jesse's voice carried to the kitchen.
Black okay?
Go. Colin shoved me again.
Oh, and you're picking me up. It seems I'm down a car.
He winked.
I'll text you.
I waved him off and bolted. Didn't trip. And smiled the entire way to meeting with Jesse's wife.
Chapter 17. Jesse. I'm sure there's a reason you're staring at the blank wall like you want to hump it, right? Shh. Colin leaned against the wall as he whispered. We're having a moment. I raised my hands. Don't let me intrude. He pushed off the wall and sighed. All done. My eyebrows rose. You're acting weirder than normal, says the guy with 10 full boxes of cereal in his pantry. He looks over at the front door that had just opened to reveal Vanessa in all her glory, like she was ready to go out and meet with movie producers. White pantsuit, red lipstick, tall, nude heels. She was almost beautiful enough to make you forget how horrible a person she was. Almost. Ah, I see you picked up a stray on the way home. Her eyes darted from Colin to me as she sniffed the air. Do you shower, ever? Colin stared her down. Eat any children today? Run over any puppies? Ha! She marched over to me, pressed her hands against my chest, and leaned up like she was about to kiss me. I gripped her wrists and turned her away. With a scowl, she went to the fridge and looked inside. Our relationship was all for show. Everyone in our inner circle seemed to understand but her. It was over. It had been over a while, which meant no casual kissing, no touching. Sometimes it felt like I knew her better than she knew herself. She always walked to the fridge like she was hungry, and always left without food, a reminder to her stomach of the sacrifice required to stay perfect, habit, a ritual, if you will, that she practiced every day. I have a meeting in a few. She slammed the fridge shut. I thought maybe we could do drinks after. She let the question hang in the air. I swallowed against the sick feeling building in my throat. I don't think that's a great idea. You promised, she hissed out with a smile. For appearance's sake, and the book is doing so well, Jesse, why ruin a good thing? Colin coughed. I hung my head. Yeah, sure, just text me. She grinned triumphantly, then marched out the door, slamming it behind her. Colin gave me a disgusted look. What? I threw my hands in the air. My hands are tied, man, you know that. I promised her that I'd play nice while the book launched. They're tied because you let that woman have the rope. Hell, you bought the rope, handed it over, then submitted at her feet. And your hands are always going to be tied until you kick her to the curb. He was right. I knew he was right. But the guilt was there. It was always there. The blame. And then more guilt when I thought about Blair.
Chapter 18. Blair. Our client meetings often started and ended in tears, but something about the woman Jesse married told me that she was more of a talker, more of a doer than a crier, like she was above wasting tears on anyone or anything that didn't bow at her feet. And my point was proved the minute she stepped into our offices. She looked expensive, smelled even more expensive, and I literally couldn't tell her age. She was so stunning that I blinked a few times before words could form in my mouth. From her white pantsuit to her perfect red pout, I suddenly realized all the reasons why Jesse hadn't thought to take me with him. This had been my competition. This supermodel of a woman. I self-consciously tugged down my tank top and gulped. I was an idiot. A complete idiot if I thought he kept my number for any reason other than a booty call on top of the ass I assumed he was already getting from this one. Hell, maybe he kept my number out of pity because I'd looked so out of place when we'd seen each other again. Whatever it was, there was no chance I could compete with the woman in front of me, not even if I had plastic surgery and a new wardrobe. I was the girl next door. She was a Hollywood starlet, which she proved when her eyes zeroed in on me like I was offending her by merely existing, breathing the same air in the same small space. I stood a little taller than her. The bun on my head bobbed as pieces of hair fell over my face. I barely had time to change from maid outfit into black skinny jeans before she arrived. She licked her lips and then showed me a practiced smile with way too many teeth. It was meant to put people at ease, but all it did was make my hackles rise. I'm here to meet with Isla and Blair. Blair, I held out my hand, and Isla is grabbing coffee. Would you like something to drink? Pellegrino, sparkling, 2 ice cubes and a dash of fresh mint, please. She ignored my still outstretched hand, walked past me, and sat on the white leather couch. I wasn't used to being dismissed or put down by another woman. I worked with a strong woman. In my world, we stuck together. Apparently, Vanessa's world included being mean to the hired help, no matter how much they planned on saving your ass and marriage. I focused my thoughts on the giant paycheck we'd receive and then swallowed, choosing my words carefully. I can manage the Pellegrino, but we're fresh out of mint. Her eyes widened. For a minute, I could have sworn she was going to say something like, "Then shouldn't you go get it?" Instead, she shifted in her seat and muttered, "Fine," all while checking her perfect nails and then her pout in the mirror she held close to her face. I instantly hated her. And it had less to do with Jesse than I might have thought. She just seemed like a rude human. One of those people who spent their days judging others from a perfect little tower. The type of woman who would cut you off in traffic and force you into a head-on collision while sipping her stupid Evian and touching her face to make sure the Botox was still spongy. Be right back. I rushed down the hall into the makeshift kitchen and nearly ran into Isla and her 2 cups of coffee. Hey, she said brightly. I was just coming your way.
She's evil, I whispered. She wanted mint.
Isla nodded.
Should we alert the authorities?
Yes.
Isla smirked. Blair, wanting mint isn't a crime.
It was the way she said it,
I grumbled.
She wants 2 ice cubes, sparkling water, and fresh mint.
Isla took a deep breath.
That's our clientele. I know I don't need to remind you of that, right? They're used to having everything at their fingertips, mint included, and they pay a lot of money for that privilege, so we put up with their bullshit and they write us a check. Vanessa Beckett's mint can go to hell. In fact, after she pays us, we'll go buy mint, set it on fire, and get drunk. Sound good?
I chewed my bottom lip, then slumped. She was right. I knew she was right. And typically it didn't bother me as much as it did now. Maybe it's because I was looking at Vanessa through Jesse's eyes, wondering, besides her beauty, is that the type of woman he wanted in his life? Is that what he had been looking for? Someone who demanded everything? Okay, fine. Grabbing the water. See you in 2. By the time I made it back to the front office, Vanessa was in tears and Isla was rubbing her back. Ah, the Isla effect. She could get anyone to confess anything, and apparently Vanessa wasn't immune. I was almost disappointed. My phone buzzed in my pocket. Colin. Happy hour, happiest time of the day. Me. Still working. Colin. Skip. The thought had merit. I shoved my phone into the back pocket of my jeans and held out the glass of water for Vanessa. 2 cubes, sparkling. She waved me off, like I was her waitress. So I clenched my teeth, set it on the glass table, and listened while Isla soothed her.
It's not your fault, Isla. It happens to the best of us, Isla.
We'll figure it out,
Isla. It's going to be okay,
Isla. Vanessa swiped under her eyes, then pulled out a mirror.
Oh, look at me. I'm a mess.
There were literally no mascara streaks, no hair out of place. Yet when I cried during commercials, you know, the State Farm ones, I ended up looking like I'd just suffered a death in the family and had a sore throat for a day from my loud hiccuping gasps. Life wasn't fair. You look great, I said. At least I wasn't lying. She gave me a faint smile and then turned her attention back to Isla, like I was the invisible help. I imagined hurling my body over the table and strangling her, then tying her to a chair while I slowly set that damn book with her and Jesse's smiling faces on fire. Hey, I was smiling again. Isla gave me a warning look, which meant I was probably doing the creepy smile I did when I was ready to launch an all-out attack. I cleared my throat. So, typically during the first meeting, we go over our soft investigation, which we've already started in order to gather information. We then transition into discussing your fears and expectations. From the scene I walked in on, I'm assuming you and Isla have already started the conversation. Vanessa looked down at her hands. So, I leaned closer and grabbed my laptop to take notes. Let's discuss your expectations. I knew what they were, but we needed the client to say them out loud. Sometimes their desires and expectations changed after being able to talk to someone. Vanessa took a deep breath.
Obviously, I want reconciliation.
My fingers hovered over the keyboard. My hands froze, like they didn't want to type the word. Like I was hoping she'd changed her mind, as so many of our clients did. The ones who'd initially mentioned reconciliation as a possibility almost always backpedaled once they saw proof of cheating. I nodded and then slowly typed, reconciliation. What else?
That's it, Vanessa said sharply. I want him to want me again,
and he's not going to want me if he's getting it somewhere else. I know he's pissed about... She stopped herself. The point is this. We're perfect for each other, and I love him. We belong together. If I catch him in the act, then I think the guilt will be enough for him to come back to me, to see that we really are better together. Oh? I just had to say it, didn't I? Isla's eyes went wide in my direction while Vanessa seemed to grow taller in her seat. Yes! She said it so factually I wanted to throw something. I can even give you examples, she said with a beautiful, flashy smile. I mean, other than the obvious. Her hand did a little show of her outfit like that was an actual example. A pantsuit. All right, then. Go ahead. We have similar styles. Jesse's entire lifestyle fits with mine, and before you start judging me for listing that as a reason, I have a very serious OCD problem, and Jesse always understood that. When I moved in with the man, he didn't even need to make any changes to his house. White walls, white counters, everything has its place. He rarely eats at home and likes to be seen, or used to. She shrugged. We're a power couple. People want to be us. They want our lives. And with that comes power and influence. We're able to be leaders in society. And deep down, I know that's what he really wants. He loves doing charitable work. And what do you think would happen if people see him in a negative light? Or us as a couple in a negative light? People want us to fail almost as much as they want us to succeed. I want to be the couple that people admire and respect. Besides, he gets me. He gets this. She lifted her hands into the air, giving them a semi-flick, as if pointing at herself. And most people don't. They're too normal. She hung on the words, staring me down. To understand my needs. And I truthfully think most women wouldn't understand his. Your needs. I licked my lips. Right, and what about his? Oh, I meet those, believe me. She winked. And not just in a physical sense. Do you know that after he retired, he became depressed? Who do you think pulled him out of that? Me. She pointed at herself. I made sacrifices so that he would start doing something with his life. I'm half the reason he even started getting more involved with charities. I make him stronger. I just wish he would actually stick his head far enough out of whoever's ass he's in to see it. Her chest heaved. I nodded my head, digesting the information. She truly believed that she made him who he was. She felt like she was a helper, not a hinderer. But from what I'd heard in the pantry, the opposite was true. Too confused to process, I kept asking questions. And if we don't find out he's cheating, what if we find nothing? What if it's a simple relationship problem and not cheating? He's cheating, she said quickly. Last week I found a woman's number in his cell that I've never seen. A friend took a picture of him at one of his events dancing with a pudgy girl. I had a sneaking suspicion I was the pudgy girl. Fantastic. And he never once said something was wrong. One day he started pulling away and turning into this man I didn't recognize. This time she swallowed and looked at her manicured hands. We were having sex multiple times a day a few months ago. Ah, must be nice. And then suddenly he kicks me out, asks me to leave, says he needs space. I don't think so. You don't just fall out of love in a few months. And he wasn't acting weird before that? I asked hopefully. Before we separated, I had asked him if he wanted to renew our vows, and he said he'd think about it. He didn't turn me down, so no, he wasn't acting weird. Who are you again? My phone buzzed twice. You know what? I stood. I have to take this. Why don't you two finish up? Wait! Isla stood as well. Did you want to explain what you found in Jesse's house today? Vanessa's expression went from angry to hopeful. You found evidence at the house? But it's so clean! I swear my eye twitched. Tell me about it. I finally grumbled before sitting back down and explaining. I did find a telephone number by his bedside. I'll be calling it later to see where it leads, but that's it. Meaning I'd be calling it later to check my voicemail, but she didn't need to know that. As far as I was concerned, the guy was clean. The only other thing I found was a spare key on the kitchen counter that I'm assuming was left for a reason. That's my key, she said. I've been living in the guest house. Oh. My stomach sank. What was that? You still live on the property? Of course, she rolled her eyes. We are still married, after all. My dejected soul crumpled a bit. That's... I stopped and regained my composure. He's my husband! She snapped the word my. I flinched. I'd danced with her husband. I'd lusted after her husband. I'd justified doing this because I'd had him first. But did I really? She was married to Jesse. Still married. Separated, but not separate if he was still living with her. I was suddenly the other woman. Sure, I didn't physically cheat with him, but emotionally, I wasn't being truthful with myself or with the woman sitting in front of me. And yet something still felt off. There was a piece missing. Something wasn't right. I just didn't know what it was. All right, I said softly, trying to sound caring. I'll keep searching. I'll let Isla finish up with you. I excused myself and bolted into the office. Abby gave me a questioning look and then answered the phone. Penny purred, stepping between my feet, letting her body sashay between my jeans-clad legs. Vanessa was living with him. Living with him. And he was flirting with me. With his wife still under his roof. My phone buzzed again. Seriously? I grabbed it and checked my messages. Colin, hurry. I let out a sigh of relief. For some reason, I'd been nervous when I thought Jesse was texting, but now that it was his best friend, I was actually happy. Colin, they only have one bottle of vodka left. Colin, since we're friends, I saved it for you. Colin, just kidding, you're ignoring me, I drank it all. Colin, this just in. I'm not longer sober enough to drive. Colin, you don't mind picking me up from jail, right? Colin, fact. Last time I was in prison, stop rolling your eyes, but last time they let me order pizza. I covered my mouth as a laugh escaped. The guy was insane. I quickly texted back. Me. You went to prison and you think that makes me want to go out with you even more? Colin. Hey, you're alive. Me. Are you sober or in prison? Where am I driving your car? Colin. Oh, I'm actually waiting outside. Have been for 30 minutes. I Ubered over here. My driver told me they'd accept a dick shot instead of a payment. Told you the snake tattoo does it every time. I sighed. Me. Grabbing my purse. Colin. You won't need it, but I know how women are with their shit. Me. I'm attached to my shit. Colin. Right. Plus I can search through it later and find all your weird habits and secrets. Almost like a PI, only I won't get stuck in the pantry. Or your purse. Me. Stop texting, talking, communicating. Give me 2 minutes. Colin. Tick-tock. I tucked my phone away and leaned against the wall. Why did it suddenly feel like I was caught in a bad TV sitcom, chasing after an ex I'm still attracted to despite the wrongness of it, pretending that everything's okay in front of his wife who's living with him? And now I owe his best friend a date. No, a favor. Same thing. It was turning out to be the longest week of my life, and it wasn't even close to being over. I smiled to myself again, then stopped and gave myself a mental pinch. Going out with Colin only helped further this investigation, right? If he knew anything, he'd tell me. It wasn't a real date. I just owed him That's all. That's all.
Chapter 19. Colin. She said 2 minutes. She took one. And by the look on her face, she was either pissed at me or whatever had just gone down in her office. Rough day? I grabbed her hand and forced her to walk with me. She stared at our joined hands, then tried to pull away. I didn't let her, just kept tugging her closer until she gave up, which she did a few seconds later as we stopped at the crosswalk. I thought we were driving. I'm a safe driver, I said. Okay, let me finish. I winked as the signal changed to walk. I wanted to hold your hand since the favor was a date, and I like to keep both of my hands on the wheel, just in case. I squeezed her hand tighter. This way you get my amazing bartender conversationalist charms, and I get to hold your hand. Cars are too distracting anyways, so many buttons, music, windows. What the hell do you have against windows? Easy, I smirked. People can look in. And what if I don't want them watching us? Presumptuous, aren't you? She rolled her eyes even though I could see a bit of blush stain her cheeks. Confident, I said. Besides, I like to keep my business private, though the idea of getting watched or caught does have merit. I pretended to think about it while her jaw dropped. But I'd like to keep you all to myself for now, if that's okay. I'm curious, she cleared her throat. How did we go from you rescuing me from the pantry to a date and then shenanigans in the car? Oh, that, I nodded. We held hands. So now we're getting married? I stopped walking. Are you proposing? Her eyes widened in horror. Everyone, I announced loudly to the three people walking by and the man smoking outside the restaurant. She just proposed, and I said yes. I bit down on my lower lip to keep myself from bursting into uncontrollable laughter as her mouth opened, closed, opened again. What? Is the spy speechless? I teased. Are you always this impossible to be around? She ducked against me and covered her face with her hands. Can't you just quietly take me to dinner, buy me soup? Tomato soup, I clarified. That is my favorite. She seemed to be upset about it, or maybe just uncomfortable that we had something in common. Look, she shrugged away from me. There's a subway another block down. Nope. I steered her toward the restaurant and into the bar area, with its high-top tables. I'd always hated restaurants that didn't understand the necessity for a separate bar area that appealed to a different crowd. The space was just a bit darker, classier, grown up, and Mulligan's was just the sort of place that got it. Then again, I owned it, but still, she didn't know that. Well, look at that. I shoved a menu toward her and leaned over the table. Tomato soup, and you even get some fancy bread to dip in it. Okay? Blair pressed her lips together and then jutted a finger out at me. Just to be clear, this was a favor for a favor. After this, the slate's wiped clean. Got it? Completely fair, I agreed. But be honest, is souping with me so bad? Souping's not a word. Sure it is, I argued. Now try not to get overwhelmed when you look at the cocktail menu, and if you see any big words, sound them out. Blair rolled her brown eyes. You're like a bad cold. Is that your way of saying I'm annoying? Yes, it is. She smiled sweetly. But you did rescue me from the worst meeting I've ever had, so cheers. She lifted her water glass. I clinked mine with hers. Want to talk about it? Blair shifted in her seat, then leaned back. Are you playing the part of Jesse's best friend or bartender therapist? Bartender therapist is an easier cross to bear, I said honestly. So let's go with that one. You guys are friends, right? I nodded. Next question? With an exhale, she leaned forward until it felt intimate, like a date, like I hadn't just hijacked the one woman who was distracting my best friend from the Vanessa situation, and like a complete bastard, I didn't even care. I reminded myself again. He was married, I wasn't. Sure, I had women, as many as I wanted, but I just wanted one. It was refreshing to sit across from one woman and not wonder what she wanted from me, or if she was thinking about my bank account, my reputation in bed. Nope. Blair was most likely dwelling on my snake tattoo and man bun, which seemed to be a thing with her, especially since she kept looking at my muscled forearm, then back up at my face. Also, I got the feeling she was questioning the universe as to how someone like me was able to adult on a daily basis. Okay, at the risk of losing my job, I eyed her, then put a hand over my heart. Bartender therapist, my lips are sealed. She exhaled like she was thankful she had someone to talk to. The meeting with Vanessa was... She looked like she was searching for the right word. I held up my hand. Hold that thought. I walked to the bar, grabbed a bottle of whiskey and two shot glasses, and walked back to the table. Blair was covering her face with her hands, peeking at me like I was an embarrassment to society. You can't just do that at random bars. You don't work here. Of course not. But I do own this place, so basically I do whatever the hell I want. I grinned. She dropped her hands. Do you own everything? Ah, a question for another time. Universal Studios? I scowled. Starbucks? So, I poured her a shot of our finest. You had a run-in with Satan's mistress and are trying to figure out what Jesse sees and or saw in her because she makes you believe in sterilization. I winced at my own harsh words. The hate I had toward her went deeper the more I allowed it to boil. The more Jesse and I refused to talk about it, the worse it got between the three of us. Blair choked on her shot, then slammed it down. Yes! How much to tell her? The situation was so damn complicated, and even though I was involved, it wasn't my story to tell, not really. What are the odds that the one girl in the past decade to catch my attention is the same one my best friend's still pursuing? And she had dated him. Fuck. Jesse didn't grow up with a silver spoon in his mouth, I said slowly. He had this idea of what he wanted when he finally made it, and he took it. Blair leaned in. I guess he never told me any of that. She looked lost in thought and seemed disappointed. He wanted perfection. Blair's face fell. Hell, I needed to watch what I said since they dated. I mean perfection in all things. He was all about appearance, what to eat, where, say. He was so worried that everything would get taken away that he didn't want to take chances on something that wouldn't pan out or help him. He was poor growing up, and we became best friends in junior high when I loaned him a pair of Jordans so he could play basketball. I brought him lunches because the guy's mom rarely had enough money to pack him anything except top ramen. He became an insanely good athlete, but his love for football was as much about the money and fame as his fear of never being poor again. He'd be able to prove he made it, and did it on his own. I paused and leaned back against my chair. Vanessa wasn't always so bad, I admitted lamely, thinking back to when I actually tolerated her, when she actually smiled and laughed authentically and had human emotions, before it all came crashing down on the three of us, before all of us lost a bit of ourselves by way of Vanessa's actions. What happened? I stilled. Yeah. Not enough alcohol for that conversation. Life happened, people grow up, they change. Sometimes life just alters you, without your permission, and you're stuck with the ramifications. The shell, I nodded. Vanessa is the shell. What's that make Jesse? That makes Jesse the one who wants to make sure everyone is okay, even if he suffers for it. And before you start sighing into your alcohol, remember, the guy changed, too. We all did. It was out before I could stop it. The we. We? She tilted her head. More alcohol? I filled another shot glass. It's 4 in the afternoon, she glared. I'm not drinking that much that early. It's 7 at my penthouse in New York, I offered. Let me guess, Times Square, please. I rolled my eyes. Brooklyn. She grinned at that, like she appreciated that I wasn't into the flash or glam of it all. I sipped my water. Should we order? Sure, after you answer the question, she countered. Was it, though? A question? You said we, her eyes narrowed. What happened between the three of you? Vanessa's my sister. I said it softly, but it still felt like a scream, like I just announced to the world that she belonged to me. Blair choked on the water she just sucked into her lungs and pounded her chest as she wheezed. Sister? Biological. The type you can't disown even though you try every day of your life. Yep. She's my sister. I stared into that bottle of whiskey with longing and then back at Blair. You hate her, she said. With every fiber in my body. I gripped the shot glass, surprised it didn't shatter between my fingers. And the reason? There's going to be a penalty for all these questions, Blair. You sure you want to pay up? You really that curious? It might help me in my job. She shrugged innocently. I'll pay up. Tell me why you hate her. Which reason? Her eyebrows shot up. How about you just give me one? I don't want to owe you too many penalties. She took my best friend away from me and turned him into a man I don't recognize. She offered him every single thing he'd ever wanted. A powerful family, the right connections, the perfect everything he'd grown up wanting. She never gave him the time of day until he started getting offers in college. I shrugged. She seduced him when he was visiting our family one Christmas and made him believe she wanted to be a teacher, have kids. She said with our family supporting them, they could change the world. By then, he was already head over heels. He'd always had a thing for her, even when we were kids. He sort of worshipped her. All the guys wanted her, and when he got her, she was like this shiny trophy he'd finally gotten to hold. And once he had it, he refused to let it go. Blair's head jerked up. Really? Yes. I watched her expression pale. They'd known each other for years before finally hooking up. Years? She repeated, the wheels turning. All right, pay up. I crooked my finger. She leaned in. You never told me what my penalty was. Exactly. I leaned across the table and took her mouth, tasting the whiskey on her tongue and diving back in for more as I cupped the back of her head and made my mouth completely at home against her lips. With every taste, my mouth burned for more. The mixture of aged whiskey and the scent of licorice slammed into me. I kissed her harder. She moaned into my mouth, her hands fisting my shirt as a water glass tipped into my lap. I jerked back and muttered, "Well, that took care of one problem." She blushed, bright red. "Don't do that again." "Oh, Blair, we will be doing that again," I grinned. "Because I just found your weakness. You like information. And trust me, baby, you've come to the right place." I shoved my guilt away as hard as I could. This wasn't about Jessie, this was about me. I didn't have to tell her everything, just enough to keep her needing me. For now. Because I wanted to see her again, talk to her, kiss her. I was met with a scowl, combined with a hungry expression, like I held a box full of answers she was clamoring to get, but only I held the key. "You kiss better than you talk," I teased. She gripped her knife and arched an eyebrow. "I mean, you're an excellent conversationalist." "Better." She dropped the knife. "Soup and bread?" Damn, I still tasted her on my lips. Her eyes lowered as I sucked in my bottom lip, tempted to lure her in for another kiss, and another, until I tasted her for hours, days later. Sure, she nodded. I got up. "I'll go tell the bar. Try not to get trapped in any pantries or under the table. I would hate for you to owe me more favors, especially since you hate my company so much." I winked. She flipped me off. This was the start to a beautiful something.
Chapter 20. Blair. Colin had this unquenchable fire about him, and he could make anything interesting. Like, he could tell me how the whiskey we were drinking was made, and it would be the most fascinating conversation I'd ever had with another human. And although I felt slightly guilty for prying information from him, he always seemed to steer the conversation back to me, back to him, with jokes and lingering stares, as if he didn't want our entire date to be about my job, but about us having a good time. I couldn't remember the last time I had that type of connection with someone. Jesse. That was the last time I felt a connection. But now it felt like that connection was severed, and I couldn't quite put it back together again. Meanwhile, with Colin, we had this easy, we've been friends for years feeling, which I'd craved so much with Jason, and never had. Plus, the guy seemed to know everything about everyone, and I hated how attractive that made him to me. I was a woman who thrived on information, and he was the man who had it. He was even better at eating soup, if the stains on my shirt were any indication. He gave off this sexy, hipster, I-don't-give-a-fuck vibe, and yet not a thing about him was out of place. I checked, vigorously, like a crazy person when I thought he wasn't looking, and got caught twice looking for bread in his teeth. A weird mole, foul odor, something, anything, that would support my case that there was something wrong with him. And he wasn't one of those mythical unicorns one rarely saw in the wild. The only thing I could conjure up was his playboy nature. The way he kissed was a perfect example of the experience behind that mouth. The only kisses I really compared his to were Jesse's. And loath as I was to admit it, Jesse's kisses had always been nice. Colin's kiss wasn't nice. Colin's kiss was more of a plunder, a hunt for treasure, a search and rescue mission with his tongue that made me beg to get lost again so I could have another taste. It pissed me off that I would react so strongly to a relative stranger, and terrified me that maybe I had been wrong about Jesse all this time, that I'd so stupidly trusted his easy smiles because of my lack of confidence, that I was wrong about Jesse like I was wrong about Jason, about my own doubts and fears. Colin's kiss made me question a lot, and I hated questioning myself, pointing the finger at myself, because it made me acknowledge way too much. What was I doing? Jesse was the guy who got away, the game changer. I should be attracted to him, not snake tattoo. Ew, I didn't even like tattoos, and already I'd had about a dozen fantasies of licking my way down his muscular forearm and asking for seconds. You're staring at the snake again. Colin winked as he signed the check and offered his hand. Make that 13 fantasies. It's just a snake, I said lamely. His lips spread into a wide smile, revealing perfectly white, gorgeous teeth. Uh-huh. You want to touch it, don't you? Yes. No! You sure? Absolutely not. I'm good. Next time. I hated how much I perked up at that sentence. Like he was already planning on more dates, more favors, more kissing, talking. What in the world was I doing? He opened the door for me. I walked through, brushing against his body as his mouth neared my ear and whispered, "Thank you for coming." My thighs clenched. "Thanks for inviting me." He eyed my mouth. I gulped and turned away. I'd barely managed to escape another run-in with Colin's mouth when I'd given him the keys to his car with completely jerky movements, and then moved backward, barely avoiding another catastrophe by colliding with the curb. "You sure you don't want me to give you a ride?" He smirked, his half-lidded gaze burning a trail from my head to my toes and back up again. His perusal slower the second time. More possessive, like he wanted me to think about his hands all over my body. "I'll walk," I finally croaked out. I held out my hand for him to shake. "Thanks for the lunch, the enlightening conversation, whiskey, the kissing, devastating stares, hand-holding." The list went on and on and on. My hand was flailing between us. He stared it down, then slowly pressed his palm against mine, wrapping his fingers around my wrist and tugging me into his chest. Come to my party tomorrow night. Shocker! Tattoo guy's hosting a party! My words fell over each other as my body pressed against his hard chest. God, he smelled good. I dabble in event planning. I bet you do. Please, he rasped. Look, I can't make any promises, but Jesse's supposed to show up, and if he does, you might be able to do your cute little spy thing where you pretend it's a real job and take pictures of him doing all the naughty things you're assuming he's doing, then put them up on your wall and light candles, chant. I glared at him. Think it through, Colin. Is that the best way to invite a lady to your party? Sorry, I forgot my manners, he whispered gruffly. If you come to my party, I promise to show you my six-pack. My eyes lowered to his abs. Damn him. Gotcha, he winked. Maybe if you ask nicely, but then again, you don't like owing any favors. I sighed, unsure if he was playing me because he wanted to see me, or if he was really trying to help me get information on Jesse. At least, as Colin's date, I could use that as an excuse. Tell me this. I tried for a businesslike tone and failed. My body was unconsciously leaning toward his. I told myself it was because it was cold. Then my brain smacked me around a bit and said, duh, Blair, it's 90 degrees out, but sure, yeah, you're nipping out from the great freeze. Will I be going as your date? Colin's eyes darkened. Is that what you want? Six packs, dates, demanding, aren't you? Look, I explained, I need intel on Jesse. I need to figure this shit out, and the only way I can get an in is with you, so yes, I'll go, but only as your date, and only if you promise to give me details on his schedule, whereabouts, and all the other things I'll need in order to do my job. Colin's expression fell for a few seconds. So basically betray my best friend for my new friend? Well, when you put it that way... I grumbled, feeling a sudden headache. Colin sighed. Look, I'm only helping you because I think in the end, if he is doing something sketchy, it's best it stops now before it hits the media. She'd take him for everything. Why are you telling me this? He tapped my temple with his finger. Because spies like information, don't they? I nodded. For the record, I don't think he would cheat on her. And I don't trust my sister as far as I can throw her. He shrugged. Just being honest. I don't think Jesse has anything to hide. So helping you doesn't necessarily feel wrong. And if he does, then doesn't he deserve to get caught? I kicked the curb. That's a little bloodthirsty. Better you than the local newspaper, Colin pointed out, then flashed me a smile. And yes, you're going as my date, not because I think you need to in order to gain intel, but because I fucking want you on my arm. Deal? I sucked in a breath. What? He grinned. Did I come on too strong? I tend to do that when I like something. Didn't you like two somethings last time I called you? That's not liking or caring. That's fucking. Oh, so much better. My stomach clenched. You need to learn how to trust people more. Says the player. I took a step back. Fine, bring a friend, and I promise I'll try to keep my hands to myself. I thought about it for a few seconds, a war raging in my mind. Did I want him to myself? Did I want him to kiss me? The man whore who slept with multiple women? What was wrong with me? Why did I keep asking that? It had been so long since I'd felt wanted, and now I had a possible cheater from the past and snake tattoo Colin. The universe is weird. Text me directions and I'll bring my friend Isla, I finally said. He laughed. Yeah, bring Isla. Maybe she can scout the party while I show you the lava lamp in my bedroom. Ha! I laughed. Tell me you have a blacklight and I'm so in. He rolled his eyes. Of course I do. It's right next to my Metallica poster and Betta fish tank.